Andrea Redmond. Andrea, good morning to you.
Good morning, Donald. How are you?
Very well, and I should give you your full title, Dr. Andrea Redmond, who is a representative of Cumann na Forbartha na Dúshaoirí, who is involved in the discussion on this mast. There is a mast and its provenance is under severe discussion, and you believe it's time that mast came down. Tell us the story, Andrea.
The story is about a four-year story. I mean, Dúshaoirí, we've had kind of multinational corporations. We've had two at the moment, Brookfield and then Ørsted. Brookfield was a Canadian company, and then Ørsted is a Norwegian company who intended to build a number of wind farm wind turbines. Now, before they did that, they got planning permission to erect this mast. Now, Donald, the mast is 656 feet. And it is, as I like to think of it, at the top of the mast is a very red light. It's almost like a lit match. So at night, if you're looking, you think automatically, oh, there's a fire, because it's very, very bright. It can be seen all along the river from Lecture to Dúshaoirí. And so they got planning permission by Donegal County Council to put, I think, an 80-meter one, and they ended up putting a 100-meter one up to begin with. And this was to measure wind speeds, etc. But on the top of the tower, as you said, there's the light, but there's also surveillance cameras. And these cameras were equipped in a number of villagers, it said, who walked in the area with the capacity to be able to talk to people, say, who ventured too close. So obviously the cameras were being monitored. And I don't know whether the audio was pre-recorded or what, but now, in the long 4 years, we've been inundated with surveys. During COVID, they came door to door, these companies, they overflying low aircraft. So it went to Donegal County Council, rejected the wind farm. Then it went to On Bord Planola. And luckily, within the last so many months, yep, On Bord Planola rejected the wind farm. And Ørsted, the Danish company or Norwegian company, has come out within the last couple of weeks to say they're going to pull out of the project. So what we're asking, and a lot of villagers have come to Dúshaoirí Development and said, you know, what is the situation with the mast? Because we still feel it's very invasive. Mm-hmm. We have cameras focused on the village and on homes. And there is also a fear, Donald, that now we've had to deal with two companies, yep, two multinationals, a third could come in.
Is there a fear that Ørsted, the company that's there at the moment, might say, well, we didn't direct the mast, that was there when we got here, it's not our problem, it's somebody else's? Is there a fear that might
develop?
Well, we
believe, yes. We're kind of getting a runaround about actually who owns the mast.
Yeah.
Now, there is a company called Gale Tech. Now, there's actually two Gale Techs, and it's just a spelling differentiation. Now, so we had sent emails out to Ørsted to basically ask, is this your mast? Since it's surplus to requirement, could you please remove it and please put the site back to the way you found it, the pristine way you found it, because they had clear-cut trees right down to the river, Donald. So we eventually found out who exactly owns, and it's a company, Gale Tech, in Cavan. And we have emailed them. We have had support from Micheál Colum and other local community groups. And we have to say, look, we bear a conservation group have spearheaded the fight against this whole project, and we can't thank them enough. But we really haven't had any feedback back from the company. And our fear is we would like this removed, the site to remain retreed, reforested, and basically the river left in peace.
Has the council been able to give you any detail as to what arrangements were made? Because one would have thought that a planning permission for such a structure, given that it's temporary in nature, the planning permission would have included a provision for its removal, and that this should have been foreseen because it's a temporary structure and its removal should have been written into the planning permission as such.
That's an excellent point. And very, very, like, we have contacted council, and I know Micheál is kind of working on that as well. It's surplus to requirement. It was there, it was put up there to measure supposedly wind speeds. We objected to that because of the golden eagles and a lot of the major raptors that we have. I mean, so much effort has gone into the last few decades to reintroduce those species, and they're actually nesting in the area. that we didn't want, you know, and it's still a knife edge as to the success of the project. And, you know, so we had objected to that. But you would think absolutely what your point is, that it's surplus to requirement, it should be removed.
I certainly recall the original discussion about this mast going up. And it's several years ago now that we were having this discussion.
Yes.
The mast went up at that point. As you said, the issue now is to try and get the mast down. You were saying there's concern about the cameras that were on that mast. Has it ever been established by yourselves or anybody else exactly what those cameras were doing, exactly what those cameras were looking at, and exactly who it was that was monitoring them? Because certainly in this age of GDPR and privacy, people will be, I'm sure, concerned about the fact that there are cameras, the provenance of which and the purpose of which people are not sure of.
Again, another excellent point. That's one of the major issues. I mean, literally, these cameras are focused in on, you know, people's homes, and they're an invasion of privacy. They're invasive. And there was that capacity when people walked near that you know, that they were challenged. So that was our query in our emails to council, to Orsted, to Gaeltacht. You know, are the cameras still in operation? Are they being monitored? And if so, they're invasive. And again, you are you know, you're going against planning permission because you're no longer measuring wind speeds because the project is dead in the water. So, you know, we can't see the sense in the mast remaining. You know, so we know in other areas that sometimes they've left equipment in that, but this seems to be an expensive piece of kit, and we would like them to come and remove it. Now, as of today, we haven't heard any feedback from the company, but we won't let this go.
So you have contacted Gaeltacht, you've contacted Orsted, you've contacted the council. Have you contacted the original company that erected the mast as well?
Brookfield.
Yes.
Well, Brookfield was a Canadian company that basically just walked away. I did think they realized that it was going to be an uphill struggle because, I mean, the original objections, we had nearly 6,000 objections, written objections to the wind farm. And I think they realized that they had their work cut out for us. You know, and you have to think it's a very positive news story because, you know, it's like Daniel or David and Goliath, you know, small village, Duhurry lecture, you know, and we're able to stand up and say to these multinationals, enough is enough. So it's a good news story in that way. And, but no, Donald, to answer your question, Brookfield walked out, Orsted came in and took over the project. Now we have emailed them and we've received absolutely nothing back.
From the point of view of the council, again, we discussed earlier that perhaps there might be some provision in the wider planning permission. And have you had a chance to examine that original planning permission to see exactly what the conditions of it were? And perhaps
no,
exactly
no,
what
haven't,
names
I mean,
are on that position as to who that permission was given to and who has responsibility for it?
That's a really good point, that we will do that. I'm sure Micheál Colin will be on it. But one of the its main purpose was to measure wind speed.
Yep.
Now, so as you say, it's surplus to requirement. They don't need to measure wind speed, so it should be removed.
Yeah. Now, as you were saying, the light on top is intrusive. Now, given a mast of that height, obviously a light like that has got to be on the top of a mast of that height because of safety prerogatives in terms of aircraft and whatever. I mean, you know, you live in sea, red lights have to be on top of cranes. So the light's got to be there. And as long as the mast is there, that light's got to be there legally. But certainly the important thing is, presumably in order to get that down, it's going to be a job of work to get it down properly, get it down safely and get it down in a way that protects the environment and then restore the local environment to the situation it was in before this mast was erected. That, as you say, will involve replanting of trees and so on and so forth. It's going to be a big job. It's going to be an expensive job. Is there a risk here that everyone is going to try and fob it onto everybody else because they don't want to spend the money?
It seems that this could be the case. But then again, Donald, I would say that it could be reused, you know, and that the equipment would be very expensive. And you would think that they would try and recoup something rather than just to leave it to rust. But yes, you know, the thing about the light as well, it's frightening too, because it's a very wooded area, if you know that stretch of the river.
Indeed,
and when
yeah.
you see it, you think fire, you know, and even though you know the mast is there.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I think in a lot, we've seen other cases where the masts were left and everybody responsible just walked away. So we kind of don't want this situation. So the minute we received word that Orsted was pulling out, we thought, right, return the area to its pristine, you know, nature, replant the trees, you know, to ensure that there's no issues with the river and that, because that was their main concern about runoff into the, and that's such a major salmon river.
Finally, as you said, councillors are on it, you're on it, you're making contact with everybody. In terms of the timeline, what is your hope in terms of how long this is going to take? It's not going to be done over a weekend. It's going to be a lengthy job. Are you hoping this could potentially be done before the end of this year? Or if we come into the winter, it could be very dangerous doing work in on, you know, in an area like Duhurry where it can be windy, it can be stormy. I mean, are people going to want to do work on disassembling a mast over the winter months? Could we be looking into spring, summer next year before this work gets done? Or do you want to see this done as quickly as possible and get it out of your
home
before
Christmas?
Well, I would
like to see it done as quickly as possible. Yeah. But, you know, I'm kind of aware that people, you know, there are issues with doing that. But it would be even positive to have some kind of confirmation what they intend to do. You know, so the first step is, that reassures that it's coming down, that they're going to remove it, and then for them to give us a timeline. And I would love to see it gone before Christmas.
Yeah.
You know, there's no reason. Planting season for trees is November to March, a great time for them to get in there and get some trees planted, some native conifers and that. You know, it's a really beautiful area. Full of deer, pine martens, red squirrels. It is that road that they propose to put the wind farm on is such a beautiful area to walk. You know, very little traffic. Wonderful, wonderful spot.
Andrea, thank you very much indeed for speaking to us this morning. We'll be keeping a very close eye on this and watching how it goes. And do please keep in touch with us and let us know if there's any progress. But for the moment, Dr. Andrea Redmond.